and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoie, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. The celebrity hotline jam-packed again today.
That's right.
Representative Jackie Speier, Democrat of the great state of California. Representative Gerald Conley, Democrat of the great state of Virginia.
He goes by Jerry.
Jerry to you and me.
Yes.
And in hour number three, Elvira, mistress of the dark, for the entire hour in studio. She is currently sleeping at my house. She stayed at my house while she's in to do the show.
What did she think of the bats?
Oh, she laughed. I put little plastic bats on the ceiling fan in her room.
That's funny.
Was it a polite laugh?
Here's what a geek I am. And I mentioned to you, I haven't finished my show prep yet for today.
Right.
And here's why, because I was putting the bats up there, and I tried to turn it on so I could see, you know, they looked like they were flying. But they went too fast, and they flew around. They flew off and hit the walls and stuff, so I had to take some time and, you know, find out exactly how fast I could turn on the ceiling fan. I had to put them back up there and...
Whatever.
It seemed like a...
I'm an adult, and that's what I spend my day doing.
Instead of doing your job.
Yes. But Elvira thought it was hilarious.
Oh, good.
All right. And speaking of hilarious, she's hilarious as well. She will be here hour three to talk about all things politics and pop culture.
She's very political.
She is indeed.
She's like a fanboy of this show. I mean, totally.
It's weird.
I know.
Well, it is a big, big news day. As you know, the president reversed course on releasing the torture photos.
The most direct consequence of releasing them, I believe, would be to further inflame anti-American opinion and to put our troops in greater danger. Moreover, I fear that publication of these photos may only have a chilling effect on future investigations of detainee abuse.
I have a thought or two on that. We'll get to
later. I'm sure you do.
But to me, the big headline of the day is the guy that actually interrogated Abu Zubaydah.
Abu Zubaydah.
It's weird, because this hardly ever happens. It turns out that Dick Cheney...
You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying sack
of
crap. You're a lying, scheming, stinking, nasty sack of liquid crap.
Yeah, remember he said we didn't get information from him until we waterboarded him?
Yeah. And that was a lie.
Yeah.
Waterboarding itself had to be used 83 times, an indication that Abu Zubaydah had already called his interrogators bluff. Within the first hour, we gained important actionable intelligence.
Yeah, it was actually, apparently that's what made him shut up, is the waterboarding, as it turns out, Dick.
That's why it had to be done 83 times.
Yeah. Only according to Bill O'Reilly, Dick Cheney's winning the battle for hearts and minds. What?
Dick Cheney going out and talking about the Obama rescinding all of the Bush-Cheney anti-terror policies. Mm-hmm. That Cheney, even though he's getting hammered, is winning that fight.
Really now? Huh.
Computer says no.
Interesting. All right. You know, Chris, hopefully they're going to... apparently, they've already taken off with our idea. Because between Dick and Liz Cheney, they won't shut their giant pie holes. We smell a sitcom in there somewhere. What else does Dick Cheney have to say?
Oh, boy.
But I have to hope that he's doing this because he is in a white-knuckled panic over being prosecuted for war crimes.
What happened was the...
Dick.
That's my dick.
Dick. How many dicks is that? A lot.
Yeah, did you torture the FAA, Dick, to get those 52 warnings that 9/11 is going to happen?
The project of the new American century called for the very same attack that actually occurred on your watch a year later.
Why didn't you guys do everything you could to stop it? Why didn't you find out what the enemy was planning to do? Why didn't you interfere with the attack?
I'd like the answer to that
one. There you go. Oh, I would pay cash money for the Jim Ward Dick Cheney interview.
Yes.
He'd bring the coffee cup, he'd do Dick Vader.
This is an outrage. You have failed me for the last time.
I think what we did was one of the great success stories.
This shall not stand.
I would absolutely do it again.
That's my dick.
Dick Cheney is officially making me screechy. If I have to see him on TV one more time, not getting challenged on any of his lies.
Do we need to give you a Xanax or something?
I think so. All right. Thank you, listener Ken in Cleveland. I smell Comedy Central, and that's my dick. Come on. That's a...
Maybe it'll be more successful than That's My Bush, which only lasted about 6 episodes.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. All right. Wow. So where do you start with all the breaking news today? See, we're going to get to the photos, but to me, I've always said this, the photos are not the issue.
Right.
I mean, to me, this was huge explosive testimony yesterday, which... Didn't we just say, here's the thing, when Dick Cheney talks, we normally say, well, that must not be true, and then what happens, Chris, a day later?
It turns out not to be true.
You sort of, it's like milk that you smell in the refrigerator, you're like, that doesn't seem right, when he said, you know, oh, well, we didn't get any information until we waterboarded. We're like, wait, hold on now, Dick, that seems completely the opposite of... So the Ali, what's his name, Soufan, that testified yesterday. He's the FBI. He's the one that interrogated him.
Yeah, he was Abu Zubaydah. Yep.
Yes, he's the guy that was in the room.
Yes.
So the contentious debate over the over torture took center stage on Capitol Hill yesterday as a former FBI agent involved in the questioning. So let me get this straight, Chris. So he would have been in the room, and Dick Cheney wasn't.
That's true.
Yeah, because I'm telling you, these are all side issues. Nancy Pelosi, the photos, it's not important. The important thing is war crimes and you know, who ordered them. And you know Dick Cheney ordered the code red.
That's right.
We are at the, you ordered the code red, I believe. Okay, so...
You don't want the truth because deep down in places you don't talk about at parties. You want me on that wall.
Yeah.
You need me on that wall.
Ali Soufan, the FBI special agent from 1997 to 2005, told members of a key Senate Judiciary Subcommittee that such techniques from an operational perspective are ineffective, slow, and unreliable, and harmful to our efforts to defeat al-Qaeda.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you! He, of course, took issue with Dick Cheney, who has said that the torture that helped the government acquire intelligence necessary to prevent further attacks after September 11th. We have...
These techniques, from an operational perspective... are slow, ineffective, unreliable.
Thank you. He said, from my experience, and I speak as someone who has personally interrogated many terrorists and elicited important actionable intelligence, I strongly believe it's a mistake to use what has become known as the enhanced interrogation techniques. Such a position is shared by many professional operatives, including the CIA officers who were present at the initial phases of the Abu Zubaydah. Thank you.
You're going to get that right eventually.
Listen, I got Blagojevich eventually. Interrogation. He told the committee that within the first hour of interrogating
Abu Zubaydah,
the terrorists provided actionable intelligence, but once CIA contractors took over and used harsh methods, he stopped talking. When Soufan was asked to resume questioning, Abu Zubaydah. Cooperated after another round of more coercive techniques used by the contractors. However, Soufan said it was difficult for him to re-engage with
Abu Zubaydah.
People were given misinformation, half-truths, and false claims of successes, and reluctant intelligence officers were given instructions and assurances from higher authorities. He said, I wish to do my part to ensure that we never again use these techniques instead of the tried, tested, and successful ones, the ones that are also in sync with our values and moral character. Only by doing this will we defeat the terrorists as effectively and quickly as possible. That's the other thing, the side debate. This whether it works or not, again... Beside the issue, it's illegal. Somebody made the best point because Mama has the smartest kids in class.
That's right.
That, you know, look, if you want to get rid of someone, murder works. Most things that work are illegal.
Yes.
If you need money, robbery works.
So does embezzlement.
Yes. Soufan was hidden behind a protective screen during his testimony. This is interesting. Jim is no Incasa yet. He's on his way. But this is a little conspiracy sausage for him. He was behind a screen. Staffers for the committee cited documented threats against him. I guess we're going to go with that it's al-Qaeda, although it could be Dick Cheney, wouldn't it? Philip Zelikow, who was a top aide to Condoleezza Rice when she was Secretary of State, repeated an accusation during the hearing that Bush officials ordered his memo arguing against waterboarding to be destroyed.
Wow.
The order, passed along informally, did not seem proper, and I ignored it, he said. He said that his memo has been in a State Department files and is being reviewed for possible declassification, which, by the way, we'll get to the photos. I feel like the photos should be... the thing is, they may have to be released anyway, eventually.
In a court of law,
yes,
yeah.
Yeah. Anyway... There may be a long game here we're not seeing yet in terms of the actual prosecution.
We're playing chess and not checkers.
That's my point, is what I'm saying. Zelikow slammed the collective failure behind the government's adoption of an unprecedented program of coolly calculated dehumanizing abuse and physical torment to extract information. This was a mistake, perhaps a disastrous one. He said, he added that some may believe recent history, even since 2005, shows that America needs an elaborate program of indefinite secret detention and physical coercion in order to protect the nation. If they are right, our laws must change and our country must change. I think they are wrong. I love this. Committee Republicans, this to me... says it all. They warned the hearing could contribute to diminished national security. So, looking... What?
How?
Everyone in the world knows we torture.
Yes.
It's time for us to step up and say we tortured and this is wrong and this is not who we are. And
right.
We're reclaiming America's good name. Oy vey. All
Lord
right. Philip, we have Philip Zelikow. Former
the U.S. government, over the past 7 years, adopted an unprecedented program in American history of coolly calculated dehumanizing abuse and physical torment to extract information.
And that was probably the top aide to Condoleezza Rice saying that.
Mm-hmm.
He's pretty high up.
May I just say the award for the stupidest thing anyone said yesterday goes to Lindsey Graham.
Why is that?
One of the reasons these techniques have survived for about 500 years is apparently they work.
Because, sir, there's a lot of people who don't know how to interrogate, and it's
right.
easy to hit somebody than outsmart them.
Yeah.
Lindsay.
You are an idiot.
That was Ali Soufan responding to him. Yeah, it is easier to hit somebody than outsmart them. Unskilled interrogators hit people rather than outsmart them. Skilled ones outsmart them.
But, again, beside the point, it's illegal.
Yes.
You moron. What you, oh, well, it must work. Yeah, well, yeah, that's why we executed Japanese, soldiers that did it to our soldiers in World War II. Oh, I need to help.
You need another Xanax.
Mm-hmm. Michael in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the Detainee Pictures. Hello, Michael.
Hi, kids. I have a real easy solution. Call me Captain Obvious. Have an independent prosecutor look at the photos. And this way, in all 2,000 of them, by the way, and not only will the American people not have to look at them, but it also proved George Bush is lying. It wasn't just a few bad apples. There's 2,000 pictures of them.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, look, to me, there's two ways to look at this, Michael. There's the logical way where you go, what difference does it make? Everybody already knows. It's not like this is something different there's some new information. And at the same time, you understand that maybe there's an emotional side of this issue.
I certainly
don't want the troops to be harmed either,
But I think that if we comp to it and say we're going to show everything that this past administration has done, I think not only that'll actually make us look better to extremists.
Right. I agree. But you know what? Once again, with the president, I'm not necessarily happy about this, but he may have a longer game in that he may know legally that they're going to be forced to release them anyway. So he looks like, he's, you know what I'm saying? It may be a political move. Same
chess.
As we talked about. Exactly. All right. Your thoughts, 1-800-STEF-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere, and much more on the explosive torture testimony yesterday before the Senate as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I am a sucker for a shock jock.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Dave in Minneapolis on Lindsey Graham's comments yesterday. Hello, Dave.
Hey, Mama. Yeah, I love Lindsey Graham, super Christian, talking about how, torture is around because it still works, right?
Yeah.
And then the whole time ignoring this supposed faith he likes to claim when it's convenient for him and gets him reelected. Wasn't it Jesus that said, whatever you've done to the least of these, you do unto me, and love your enemy as yourself?
Yeah.
Torture is okay. So obviously he's got a New Testament that's got George W. Bush's signing statement that you can ignore these things if you're a Republican.
Right. Well, I mean, mean, and not only, you know, are you ignoring, Dave, testimony of the guy that was in the room with the, is that, what's his name?
Abu Zubaydah.
Thank you. You know, saying it didn't work.
Oh, Ali Sufan.
Yes, sorry. Right, that's what I'm saying. But you know what I'm saying? On top of it, can you believe we're even having this discussion, whether it works or not? That's not,
this is how they
we're America.
I know, but this is how they operate. You didn't see, there's no man there behind the curtain. There's nothing there. No, you're wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong.
Right.
They're assuming we're all a bunch of codependent idiots that will just go along with them. Well, you got elected, you're powerful, so I'm just some stupid, you know, normal human being. What do I know?
Yep, yep. By the way, the other, hey, look over there. Let's talk about Nancy Pelosi, right, Lindsey Graham? Lindsey Graham yesterday.
I don't know what Nancy Pelosi knew and when she knew it, and I really don't think she's a criminal if she was told about waterboarding and did nothing.
Well, I mean, okay, thanks, but she really didn't need to be brought up at all.
It's all just look over there. Look, oh, look at Nancy Pelosi. Look at the photos. This is not the issue. Lindsey Graham said yesterday also, as we harshly judge those who had to make decisions we don't have to make, please remember this, that what we do in looking back may determine how we move forward. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you making my point for me, Lindsey Graham. And let's not unnecessarily impede the ability of this country to defend itself against an enemy who, as I speak, is thinking and plotting their way back into America. Here they go again with just the fear-mongering, and they've got the guy right in the room that got the intelligence from Abu Zubaydah saying, hey, I did it.
Yep.
All on my own. I took the training wheels off and checked me out. Saying that it didn't work. By the way, an intelligence source in the Bush administration was dismissive of Ali Sufan's credibility as a witness. Oh, as the guy that was in the room.
when the successful part of the interrogation was being done.
Yeah.
Now, what does he know?
Yeah. While at the FBI, Sufan was involved, by the way, with numerous investigations of sensitive international terrorism cases, including the East Africa bombings, the attack on the USS Cole, and the September 11th attack.
Some pretty big terrorist attacks.
I mean, that's all they've got on the right. It's like, oh, that guy. What does he know? It's like, what? He's the one that got the intelligence from Abu Zubaydah before they started torturing him.
So, what's your point?
Hello, Jim.
On torture.
Hello, Jim. Nice to see you.
I was being tortured, mm-hmm. So I had to.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
They didn't get anything from me, though, so you'd be glad to know.
David,
he saved America.
Thank
yes,
you.
Again.
David in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hey, David.
Well, I'll be honest. I agree with the idea that the photos should be released to a grand jury, as I have concern about releasing them for publication while we
My concern is that we
have people in harm's way.
Right. Listen, my concern is that we prosecute the people. Right. My concern is that we prosecute the people that ordered what's happening in the pictures. I don't think the pictures are the most important element here.
Well,
but there's a danger of
pictures will elicit an emotion-driven response rather than
for good or for bad.
So that yes, and that is my concern about releasing them
right.
while we
no.
have people in harm's way.
David,
give them
and
a grand
look,
jury,
right.
give them to the world court.
Yep,
right.
Yep,
but,
I hear you. Okay,
that's a legitimate concern.
That's what I said earlier. There is a logical component to this and an emotional component.
People got bent out of shape over a cartoon from Denmark.
Yeah,
these pictures could very well inflame passions more.
Representative Jackie Speier, Democrat of the great state of California, next on the Celebrity Hotline as we continue.
Now you're dealing with more cowbell.
I sure like S&M magazines. S&M is my abbreviation for
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. That's the good kind of torture we refer to there, not the bad kind. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number.
What, cowbell?
No. phone number toll-free from anywhere. If only we had somebody that could chime in on this whole debate. Who is it, Chris?
Representative Jackie Speier from up there in Northern California.
We love us some Northern California.
We certainly do.
Good morning, Congresswoman.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks so much for taking time for us.
Oh, my pleasure.
I know we have a lot to talk to with the economy and TARP funds and all that, but I have to get your take on this explosive testimony yesterday on torture.
Well, are you talking about releasing the actual photographs?
Actually, not the photos. The, you know, Ali Soufan, the FBI agent who, you know, basically, how do I say this? Called Dick Cheney a liar, essentially. That he was the one that interrogated Abu Zubaydah and said that they got good information before they started torturing him. And after they started, he stopped talking. Which, of course, was the opposite of what Dick
right.
Cheney said.
And that the expectation that somehow you have to use these extraordinary methods to get people to tell you what you want to hear. I think the fact that we have heard from someone now who's been on the inside and refutes everything that Dick Cheney has said is just more confirmation of why he and the entire Bush administration was a disaster for this country. And, you know, when people say it was probably the worst foreign policy decision in the history of our country, that is not hyperbole. That is probably fact.
Yeah, I think my mind is still reeling over Lindsey Graham saying, well, it works. I guess the reason torture has been around so long is because it works. I mean,
well, and then you have people like John McCain who obviously, having been on the inside and experienced it, know that it doesn't work.
Right. But I mean, again, don't you think, Congresswoman, that's beside the point. The point is it's illegal.
Well, I'm just trying to address, of course it's illegal, and of course it's not something that we can nor should engage in.
Right.
But beyond that, it doesn't work. So, you know, why make it worse?
Yeah, but that's what I mean. It just seems like they're trying to distract from what the debate should be. Well, you brought up the photos, Congresswoman. What's your take on the president reversing course on that?
Well, you know, I'm going to give him a pass on it, to tell you the truth, mostly because we have so much work to do to rehabilitate ourselves around the world. If these are damning photographs that are just going to add more salt to the wound, I think it's not to our advantage in an effort to try and, you know, make amends. So
right.
At this point, I would concur with it.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's what I was saying. Again, to me, it's a side issue. It's beside the point. I mean, I think we already know, you know, essentially what happened in these photos, you know, so I like I say, I'm more interested and getting to the bottom of, you know, what happened and who ordered it.
And fixing it.
And
making sure it never happens again. That's, you know, my big problem is that we have attorneys that, because they give you a legal opinion that says something is legal, people then go ahead and do it. Attorneys are offering opinions. They're not offering the law necessarily. You can get two attorneys to give you two different opinions.
Well, particularly if you're ordered to give a certain opinion.
Right.
Yeah, right. Now, Congresswoman, talk to us about the, I mean, obviously we're all struggling in this economy, but you're asking, you went to ask for money from the TARP funds. Tell us about that, because of the local agencies that lost investments in your area from in Lehman Brothers.
It wasn't just my area.
Right.
There are hundreds of local jurisdictions across the country.
Right, Colorado, Florida as well, right?
Right. $2 billion worth of assets. And this wasn't money that was being put into, you know, risky equities. This was money that was put into A and A1 bonds that were really just kind of parking the money while they did construction work, you know, where you pass a bond and then you've got to park the money while you develop the plans and pay out as you go. So all of these jurisdictions now are out the money. And what's wrong with this picture is that it's the only bank that was allowed to go bankrupt. So these are the only jurisdictions that weren't propped up by TARP funds.
Right. Well, I believe what I saw, nationwide state and local governments lost a combined $1.7 billion when the government allowed Lehman to fail instead of rescuing it like AIG.
That's correct. And if you then look at what would have happened had that money been there, it would be responsible for about 25,000 jobs in this country right now. So not only is it just the right thing to do, but it is an economic stimulator as well, because many of these were construction projects.
I'm sorry, I was laughing because I can hear the phones ringing behind you. It sounds like you have Jerry Lewis on a telethon going to raise funds for your area.
Never walk alone.
Listen, I understand that you're in trouble, but so now the other thing that happened yesterday, the Obama administration threatening to rescind billions of dollars in federal stimulus money if Governor Schwarzenegger don't restore wage cuts to unionized home health care workers. Can you talk to us about that?
I think it was the right thing to do.
Right.
And, you know, Governor Schwarzenegger is always, you know, fast with a phrase and, you know, easy to turn his position from one to another. I think he's going to rethink this and restore the funding for home health workers. California is in deep trouble. I mean,
yep.
Talk about a death spiral. We're coming to the downside end of it. And if these initiatives don't pass on the ballot, we're looking at another $40 billion. So lots of work that needs to be done in the state.
We may not only need to legalize pot, we may all need to start smoking it a lot to get through this.
Stop it. I kid.
No, the governor, I know, you know, he has his thing. When, you know, you remember when he went up against the unions before and called them special interests and all that. He got his head handed to him politically.
They broke my femur.
The unions broke his femur, as I recall.
It's my way or no way.
Yeah!
The nurses gave him a political enema, as I recall.
It's my way or the Autobahn.
Congresswoman Spear, tell us about the health care, because that is obviously such a huge issue. And, you know, we got this coming down the pike. Optimistic about our chances of getting something good done?
I actually am. You know, this president is truly a remarkable person and an incredible leader. And I was not his supporter. I really was a Hillary Clinton supporter. But he is so committed to coming up with health care reform. Now, it's not going to necessarily look like what everyone wants it to look like, but I think in the end, everyone's going to have access to health insurance, and we're going to see, you know, some major shifts in this country. And everyone's going to have to take a little bit of a haircut. That means everyone's ox is going to be gored a little bit. And we're going to have to look twice at health care that we have just, on the natural, always thought that we deserve to have. And I'll give you an example. When I was a child, I think I went to the pediatrician twice, once to have my tonsils out, one other time.
Yeah, me too.
And, you know, I have a daughter who, you know, I don't think twice about taking her to the doctor, you know, three or four times a year, depending on what the situation is. Oh, about 2 years ago, I took her in because she had warts.
Right.
So they froze them. But, you know, I could have just as easily have used duct tape, and it would have worked just
yes.
Like we did in the 70s. That's right.
Or, so,
what was that thing called in wart medicine?
Compound W.
Compound W. That's what we used in the good old days.
So, you know, that's the kind of just change of habit that we're going to have to enlist. And I also think we're going to have to look at end of life. My mother just passed away. Six months ago, she was in the ICU for a month. Her cardiologist had an angioplasty done to her, to arteries in her heart and to arteries in her groin. And I said to him, now, should we really do this? She's 93 years old. And he said, well, let's ask her. Well, you know, what happened when we asked her? Everyone wants to live and live as long as they can. So the procedures were done.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that's an interesting point, too, about, you know, everybody's going to have to, because that's true. Back in the 70s, you didn't go to the doctor unless you got hit by a car or you had, like, a jart in your head. That was pretty much the standard, wasn't it?
Yeah. That doesn't mean we don't want a lot of great preventative care provided and immunizations and all those things that have come of age in the last, you know, three or four decades. But let me give you another kind of chilling statistic. Of those who receive chemotherapy, 96% of them, it doesn't do any good.
That is chilling. Wow.
So part of what we're talking about now is personalized medicine, and because we've been able to, kind of identify everything in the genomes, that we're able to tell who is going to be able to really benefit from some of these procedures and techniques and drugs, and I think we're going to have to use that.
Right.
To determining whether or not people should have certain procedures done or certain therapies.
Well, so the president said yesterday, you know, he thinks the stars are aligned and, you know, he wants this done this year. No excuses. Do you agree?
I think he recognizes full well that he is, his highest capital is right now, and he's going to use it now and have a legacy, and I applaud him for it.
Yep, absolutely. Me too. Representative Jackie Spear of the great state of California, thanks so much for taking time for us,
My
as always.
Stephanie.
All right, there she goes.
Yay!
Our congresswoman from up north, yonder. 43 minutes.
It's a great little town, yonder.
Yeah. No, we love the Bay Area.
43.
Absolutely. I'm from there.
I know you are. That's your hometown.
43 minutes after the hour. I'm just getting warmed up on
are
this
you?
Torture debate.
Are you loaded for bear?
Oh, yeah.
You going to hoist on your own petard?
Sure. As we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's a beautiful miracle of nature.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I said, are you gonna be my girl?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 48 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Eric in Chicago on the detainee photos. Hey, Eric, welcome.
Hey, I'm a veteran and everything, and, you know, it's like I really disagree that we should not show them. I mean, I think it's really important. I mean, we need to, just an example of what democracy and freedom is all about is, you know, we'll nail our friends to the wall if they do something wrong just as much as we nail our enemies to the wall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can't show any favoritism just because they're fellow Americans. I mean, we need to be holding our people up to a higher standard. Yeah, I mean, I think that would help our standing in the world instead
yep.
of just making us look like hypocrites.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. The important line I read in the detainee photo story is the president is kicking the decision essentially back into the court where his administration still may be forced to release the photos. Indeed, there is some evidence that the administration has little case left. The Bush administration already argued against the release on national security grounds and lost. So, like you said, maybe chess and we're playing checkers. The president may know that, you know,
mm-hmm.
then he has political cover and they're going to come out anyway.
Yep.
I mean, all right. Senator Dick Durbin yesterday at the torture hearings.
Many people seem to be suggesting that if members of Congress at the highest level are informed, that they are somehow complicit.
Referring to Nancy Pelosi.
Yes. Would you like some fun facts, by the way?
Sure.
This is from the,
are these really fun?
No.
Okay.
From the New York Times, Congress's torture bubble. There were just four members of Congress notified when the CIA about the. Can we stop calling them enhanced interrogation techniques?
Please.
Torture! It's torture! Terrorist surveillance. It's warrantless wiretapping! Okay. Anyway, so just they're called the Gang of Four. These
yes.
were the four people that were told Bob Graham, Richard Shelby, Porter Goss, and Nancy Pelosi. As a practical matter, the New York Times writes, there was very little, if anything, the Gang of Four could have done to affect the Bush administration's decision on the Enhanced Interrogation Techniques Program. To stop it, they needed the whole Congress. The framers of the Constitution gave aggregate, not individual, powers to the legislative branch. For the Gang of Four to have waved their arms and yelled at mid-level CIA briefers or written harsh letters to the president and vice president would have been useless. Yeah, Dick Cheney would have just thrown it down the portal to hell in his office where it would have been incinerated.
It's happened before.
Mm-hmm. Four members do not have the ability or on their own to bring the great weight of the constitutional authority of Congress to bear. Just FYI, GTK.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Thanks.
All right. Jason in Albany, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Thanks. I think the photo should be released for two reasons. One, because it wasn't really until the photos of Abu Ghraib came out that people got really incensed about Abu Ghraib. Some of the same stuff happened at Bagram Air Force Base. There were no photos of that, and so no one really talked about it. And two, being forced by the court to do the right thing is not the same as doing the right thing. And I would kind of like a government that just does the right thing because it's what we should do. That's fine.
Yep, I hear you. Well, I think as we said, there's a logical component that goes, look, people already know we did this. What's the difference if pictures are released of stuff we already, you know,
mm-hmm.
actually, and I don't know what's true, but the president said they aren't as sensational as the Abu Ghraib ones. I mean, we've already seen a lot of this, so to me, it's kind of beside the point. But like Jim said, it may inflame emotions,
yeah,
and if it's going to put troops in harm's way, then, you know, obviously nobody wants that.
It's a valid concern. I think on balance, it might be a good idea to release these just to show that we're the kind of country that doesn't hide that anymore. But there's a risk involved.
Senator Sheldon Whitehouse, Democrat of Rhode Island, he opened the hearing by accusing Bush administration officials of lying about the use of techniques that had damaged the country's standing in the world.
President Bush told us America does not torture while authorizing conduct that America has prosecuted both as crime and war crime as torture.
He said the truth of our country's descent into torture is not precious. It is noxious. It is sordid. It has also been attended by a bodyguard of lies. Went on to... okay.
Patui.
Exactly. Leonard in Oakland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Leonard.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning. Good morning. Go ahead.
Good morning.
I'd just like to add that torture must work because the Japanese used it in World War II, and the Japanese lost.
Yeah.
So they must have gotten a lot of good information from it.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. Angela in Indiana, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi,
hey, Angela.
I'm calling about the healthcare issue.
Yeah.
And I agree wholeheartedly with not running to the doctor every time you have a sniffle.
Yeah.
But the problem I have as a parent is that the schools are so strict about absences for the kids that most of the time if my son is out, I have to bring a doctor's note for his absence to be excused.
Mm-hmm.
So even though I know my son has the flu, he'll get better in a day or two and he'll go back to school, I have to take him to the doctor so that absence can be excused and he can make up his work.
See, I had the informal version of that in that I went to Catholic school and I was terrified that the note wouldn't be good enough for Sister Dorothy. I remember my mom wrote once that I had post-nasal drip. And I'm like, she's not going to buy that. She's going to beat me with the Board of Education.
You can get out of school for post-nasal drip?
That's what I see. I thought it was a bogus note. She needed to beef it up a little bit.
I had to be barfing up a lung or bleeding out my eyes before my mom wouldn't let me go to school.
I had to have Ebola.
Yes!
Steffi was home with Ebola yesterday, Sister Dorothy.
God, even now, I don't go to the doctor probably as often as I should.
No, me neither. Scott in Chicago.
I haven't gone in the last 4 years.
Scott on healthcare.
Hi, that was the most chilling conversation I've ever heard on the radio when Jackie was speaking. I don't think she should be allowed to speak about health.
Why is that?
Well, first of all, the things you could hear her talk about would really scare people and play into everything they say about the Democratic plans. She's talking about her mother probably shouldn't have had that operation while she was on her deathbed, that 96% of people, chemotherapy is not effective, people shouldn't
unfortunately, some of those statistics are true, you know.
Even if it's true, what the worries on the other side, and I'm pride and strong Democrat and never voted for a Republican in my life, but they might be, that's what they're afraid of if you have government health care. And I worked in jobs that dealt with health claims and medical claims, and you actually want to have people go to the doctor more. What costs and drives up claims are two things. One, people go to the emergency room because they never go to the doctor, so that's what drives up all the cost of health claims. If they were going for wellness visits, then if they would go every time, it would be cheaper. And secondly, is a lot of the people that don't have health insurance drives up all the claims because they don't have coverage, so the hospitals have to raise money to put all the costs on everyone else.
I hear you. Well, I was going to say, but the other thing that does drive up, it's hypochondriacs like Jim Ward, who thinks he has everything in the drug ads that we run.
Yeah.
How did that
ectopic pregnancy? I knew it.
I remember when he had that ectopic pregnancy. You remember he missed a whole week with that.
Yeah, that was a bitch.
I think it's my uterus.
Let's go to Patrick in Chicago.
The breastfeeling tender?
You know, Stephanie?
Yes, Patrick, go ahead.
Okay, yeah, I just wanted to talk healthcare briefly. Well, that last caller kind of beat me to the punch a little. I just happened to be listening to your radio station. I don't usually listen to it, but that conversation between you and that congresswoman, I am just shocked and appalled and disgusted at the whole thing. Just because she was, lamenting the fact that her mother got to decide for herself to have a procedure that
That's her opinion, you know. I mean, that's a personal view that she was expressing that, you know, at 93, that it was too much to go through.
And that's disgusting.
I mean, she's the one that watched her mother go through it. I mean, you can disagree, but you weren't there.
Let me connect the dots here, though, for your audience. Oh. This is why nationalizing the healthcare system is such a terrible idea, because it's going to lead, she just said it, it's going to lead to healthcare rationing, just like every other country has with their nationalized healthcare. And the rationing is going to be done by the government. And if you are 80 or 90 years, she said it herself, let's look at end of life. You know,
she was expressing a personal opinion about her mother and what her mother went through, you know.
That's not a blanket statement for what's going to go on.
She's not, okay.
Have you ever lived in a country that had national health?
Yes.
I have, in Germany. It worked very well.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Who was it yesterday I saw? Lawrence O'Donnell said, we have to stop throwing around this socialism thing. You know what I mean? It's like Social Security, Medicare. It's socialism. We're all socialists.
Have you seen the statistics, though?
Yeah.
I can't say. Socialism? Yeah. That sounds good.
57 minutes after the hour. Back with stand-up news next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Crystal Boy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Monday, a very big day on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes, it is.
You'll have to wait till Monday to find out why.
Have some big, big news.
Oh, no. I'm not going to sleep till then.
Oh, I'm such a tease. Oh, we don't sleep anyway.
That's true.
Representative Gerald Connolly, Democrat of the great state of Virginia, coming up on the Newsmaker Hotline this hour. And live in studio, all next hour, is Elvira, Mistress of the Dark. Jim, by the way.
What is she wearing?
Yeah, she emailed yesterday to say, is it okay if I come in looking like a skank? And I said, Jim says skank okay as long as you bring your boobs.
And she can't help but bring those.
Jim, she's staying at my house while she's in town because she's going to be on the show today. And I told her last night she had a squeezy moment because, you know, I have that massage chair. And there's a thing that it jiggles you at some point. Ooh. And so Elvira was in the massage chair and I'm like, oh, God.
Was there a video?
Jim would, this would just make Jim's life if he could see this. Okay. I'll just go with whatever visual
I'll
you want.
I'll be right back.
Okay. Jim needs a moment. All right.
Oh,
lots of big breaking news. Sean Hannity, of course, you knew would have to use the F word.
Oh, boy.
About the president's stance on detainee photos.
The White House has flip-flopped. The Obama administration has done a 180 on an important issue of national security. But here is your headline for tomorrow morning. Here is your YouTube moment. I, Sean Hannity, agree with President Obama.
No.
He did the right thing.
Good. Good for you. Okay, la-da-da-da-da. Meanwhile...
La-da-da-da-da. You and I done professionally, Sean.
He has, apparently he had some, I don't know if this is an interrogation expert of some sort, Chris, somebody named Morgan.
Morgan Brittany, famous actress from the 70s.
Wasn't she a porn star?
On torture.
She should be with that name.
So let me get this straight. The guy that actually, the FBI agent that actually interrogated Abu Zubaydah and said that the waterboarding didn't work, they got the good information before they did
before
that explosive
did. Yes,
testimony
right.
Yesterday in front of the Senate.
Yes.
He doesn't know what he's talking about, but Morgan.
Morgan Brittany does.
Don't get me started on torture. Sean, believe me. Do not get me. I believe in the interrogation methods of Jack Bauer. Okay?
Good for you.
I believe, no. Seriously, Bob, I believe that if American lives are in danger, we do whatever we can to get information.
Wasn't she on, like,
she
Hotel
testifying?
Or something?
Left boob has more intelligence than her cranium. What?
Yeah, I believe a horse can talk, because I used to watch Mr. Ed.
Hmm. What? Was she called to testify before Congress?
No.
Was Morgan Fairchild? Morgan Reese? Anybody? Mason Reese?
Morgan Reese.
Mason Reese.
Who am I thinking of?
What?
I don't know.
Why would...
Well, all right.
Didn't
meanwhile,
Mason Reese do the ads for, like,
Underworld Deviled Ham?
Let me get this straight. So while we had the FBI expert that was involved in interrogations for years of the since 9/11,
and how to get information without torturing people.
So Sean didn't have him on the show.
No,
or some
no.
actress from the 70s,
Who has gotten a little zaftig in the ensuing years.
That was unnecessary. All right. Meanwhile,
she was being tortured by force feeding. Clearly,
The president on health care.
We've got to get it done this year. We've got to get it done this year, both in the House and in the Senate. And we don't have any excuses. The stars are aligned.
All right. Is she being used for foie gras at some point? Is that what's happening? Okay,
yeah,
that was mean,
like
y'all.
A veal.
Chris, that's where she's kept in the dark in a pen until she goes on Hannity.
Milk.
Yeah.
For 30 years.
All right. Chris in Yankton writes, hey, guys, regarding Cheney shutting his yap, just in case it's useful, he's sent this
letter. I wish you could just shut your big yapper.
Okay. Thank you. On behalf of all of us, thank you. Oh, P.S., regarding Charlie Crist and Rubio, am I the only one who thinks Marco Polo every time I hear the name Marco Rubio? Just
sure.
Me.
Okay.
No.
I think of fish tacos. That's just me.
But that's a regional chain, so, yeah, only people here in Arizona would get that, I think.
Marco.
Rubio.
Thank you. Okay. Mike in Buffalo writes, Dear Stephanie, I'm a relatively unstable guy from Buffalo, New York. And
just your type.
Sounds like a future husband list. And I often listen to your show in the mornings when I'm driving down the ever-rambunctious Skajakwata Expressway.
The what?
The Skajakwata Expressway.
How do you spell something like that?
It doesn't matter. It was my favorite road near my hometown of Lackport. It's my favorite road next to the transit, which goes to Lackport, Mama's hometown, near Cheektowaga-Tanawanda in Lackawanna. The Skajakwata Expressway. See if Dear Abby could say that. Skajakwata Expressway. Okay, my only problem with you is when I went to your website, I couldn't find your bikini underwear pictures. Oh, the side knit pictures. No, we don't have those.
Computer says no.
Similar to those recently released photos of Carrie Prejean. Did God talk to you and tell you to remove them? Yes, that's what happened.
Remove
I
your
had
boobs?
Them up there. God talked to me and said, you're too old. Take those off the website.
Okay.
That's exactly what happened.
I thought he was talking about having your boobs removed because that, you know, you're kind of flat.
Thank you.
You're welcome. What?
Okay. You know, as you know, I'm a woman a good 5 to 10 minutes ahead of my time. And you remember yesterday we did the story about the woman that found the snake head in her broccoli at TGI Fridays?
Yes.
Although she may have put it there. However, we were talking about finding gross things, and didn't I make a joke about finding a lizard in your food?
Yes.
Man finds dead lizard in hospital sandwich.
No way. Oh, hospital sandwich?
Oh. An Italian man got more than what he paid for at a hospital cafeteria when he bit into a sandwich and found he was chewing on a dead lizard.
Oh, God.
Just threw up in my mouth a little bit.
Oh.
I've heard that hospital food is bad.
Wow. But
this is ridiculous.
This is crazy. He went straight into emergency after he bit what was supposed to be a cheese and tomato sandwich and tasted, quote, something a bit meaty and chewy.
Tomato, and lizard. I love a CTL.
It's like a BLT.
Kind of.
It's an LLT. The man said he looked down and saw the lizard tail sticking out of the side of the sandwich.
No!
That should have been a clue right there.
When he opened it up, he saw the reptile and almost passed out. Almost? Oh. Wow. Hope everybody's enjoying their breakfast.
He's hoping he wouldn't get a medical bill because he slipped a lizard into the sandwich. Hey, what are you doing to me here? Hey, you're trying to kill me. I'm going to sue.
All right. Let's check some news we don't want to lose, shall we? Here we go.
Yippee, yippee, it's time for stand-up news. And now, here's anchor person, Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. When news breaks here at Stays Broken, our top story. Wow, this is it? This is all they've got, our Republican friends?
Yes.
This is all they can think of in terms of issues facing America and what they can do to help American families. A member of the RNC said that when the RNC meets in an extraordinary special session next week, it will approve a resolution rebranding Democrats as the Democrat Socialist Party.
That's it?
That's it. That's what they're working on. Oh, boy.
Good God. Do they know what socialism is?
No. We have Nigel Tubthumper on there.
Good day to you. I'm Sir Nigel Tubthumper, Prevost and Head Chef for the International Organization for Eating Popcorn while enjoying the self-inflicted destruction of the Republican Party. I'm also President Pro Tem for the subcommittee, for it can't happen fast enough. Those delightful rascals, those endearingly clueless louts, the Republicans, are planning an all-out attack on the Democratic Party, using the devastating weapon of calling them names. Oh, the awesomeness of their power! Tremble before it! Not. Their latest scheme was to name their opposition the Democrat Socialist Party, I suppose because the name the icky, nasty, poopy-pants party of duty heads was already taken. One suspects these forlorn souls were the ones that built forts and clubhouses and wouldn't allow any girls and their cooties into the inner sanctum, whilst the rest of us were learning some basic social skills. One conjectures that the party leadership has decided to pattern its growth plan after the Shakers. You know, the severe and hedonic lifestyle, including celibacy, marked by renunciation of basic pleasures and depending on growth by drawing new people in. And we all know how many Shakers are left. Maybe the Republicans can make cunning little water boards and racks and electric chairs before they die out. At least they would have been good for something, yes? We can only hope. Go to your rooms now. It's nappy time. Cheery bye.
Oh, and finally, husband hunting bra is a hit.
A what?
Triumph, that's a company. They're keeping abreast of Japan's...
They make sports cars?
Abreast of.
Abreast of.
Japan's singles market by making a specially designed bra for women whose biological clocks are ticking.
Like yours.
That's what you need. You need 60 minutes in your... In your bra. The husband hunting bra.
I think the batteries in her biological clock have run down.
It doesn't seem very feminist to me. The husband hunting bra has been manufactured by the international lingerie firm amid Japan's falling marriage rate, and with the average age of the average bride now 28 or over.
Hmm.
What a bunch of hags.
Yeah.
I try 28?
Oh, my God.
Triumph publicist said, first you decide your target time or deadline until marriage, and the countdown clock will start. Once you find your life partner and get engaged, you have to insert the engagement ring into the slot, and the clock stops, and the wedding march begins.
Hmm.
Once the wedding deal is done, the bra includes a holder for the family seal and a pen to sign a pre- or post-nuptial agreement. Isn't that romantic? Magical. What do we have on this?
We have two clients of the bra.
Akiko-san, you are very beautiful. I am so glad that we have been dating these last few months. Come and sit by me. Kintara-san, what can you be thinking? Whatever it is, I'm thinking the same thing. Move over. You are a good man and well-off and good-looking. What could possibly happen? You are charming and sexy. You have a lovely figure. I especially like your breasts. I cannot resist. I must have them. Off with your sweater. And now your bra and I will be in heaven. This brassiere is made of metal. I can't get the clasp open. Don't move, Kentaro-san. Ha-ha! You thought you were going to have my 38s, but my rocked and eroded 38 special husband hunting bra is trained on you. Did you think you were going to enjoy free kabocha squash? Well, I have news straight from Wedding Bell at Shimbun. I am almost 30 years old, and I have no time to waste. Tell me you will marry me, Kentaro-san. But I wasn't even thinking about a marriage right now. Wrong answer, Kentaro-san! Sheesh! You think these guys would think once before they open their mouths? Well, time to clean and reload. If I hurry, maybe I can make it back to Roppongi. Sayonara, sucker!
Dear. That's all for stand-up news. I'm here all week. Tell your friends if you'd like more Jim Ward Balderall.
Jim Ward's apocryphal, but true. Mm-hmm. There is a tile ad on the Stephanie Miller website. That'll be stephaniemiller.com. Take you right there.
Yes, Cub reporter Chris LaVoy.
I have an update on who Morgan Brittany is.
Oh, please, do tell.
She's probably best known for her role in Dallas as Catherine Wentworth, the scheming younger half-sister of Pamela Ewing.
Oh. I thought you were going to say she was a well-known torture expert, but no.
No, but...
She was on Dallas.
And she was also one of the kids in the birthday party scene in The Birds.
Mm. Oh!
Yes.
Wow. Oh!
Although uncredited.
Well... I can see how that qualifies her to comment on the torture.
Torture. Is anyone named Brittany?
What's this Britney Spears thing?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. 20 minutes after the hour, back with all the latest explosive testimony on torture. Enhanced interrogation.
Whatever.
Why, I oughta.
All right. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Never in the history of the world have the merchants of obscenity had available to them the modern facilities for disseminating this filth.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Bear, bear.
Stephanie Miller.
Better.
Girl.
In the whole damn town.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. David and Joyzy on Nancy Pelosi. Hi, David.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you?
Yes, go ahead, sir.
I wanted to make a comment about the notification of Nancy Pelosi and Shelby and Portugal and all those.
Mm-hmm.
That law that allowed them to be notified but didn't give them the opportunity to do anything is an absurd law. And as I understand it, it grew out of previous presidential escapades, if you will, in foreign affairs. And the compromise that was made was that you would notify these leaders, but not that they could do anything about it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, and you know, and the New York Times, David, points out, and you know, the most important thing, he said the real reason notifying four members of Congress was better than 40 to the Bush White House is crystal clear, to eliminate political pushback.
Well, I agree with that, but the law actually predates the Bush administration, and I abhor torture, and I think that there should be actual prosecutions here. But what happened was the Congress, as it so often did so many years ago, and still does, split the difference and said, all right, the president still has his unbridled unitary power, as Dick Cheney calls it, and we'll let the president do whatever he wants, but we'll give the fig leaf of notification. Well, again, I mean, we can see a lesson for this coming forward now.
Right.
If the previous administration is allowed to get away with this, and there's nothing more than a so-called truth commission, then we just papered over the problem the same way we did before with the notification.
Yep, exactly, and that's exactly why that's what Sean Hannity wants.
Nancy Pelosi. Who's our Speaker of the House? Mm-hmm. See, Pelosi's now given five separate versions about what she knew and when she knew it.
She's the whole issue here.
Now, everyone's saying we're going to have a truth commission. If she knew about it and she thinks it's a crime, then she knowingly endorsed and supported a crime. She's got herself in a bit of a box here.
Oh, yeah, she's the one that needs to be prosecuted, not the people that ordered the torture. Would you like the fun facts that's shown from the New York Times?
No, I don't want facts. They would confuse me.
Just four members of Congress were notified in 2002 when the CIA's Enhanced Interrogation Techniques Program was first approved and carried out. According to documents released by the agency, they were Senators Bob Graham and Richard Shelby, Representatives Porter Goss and Nancy Pelosi.
Two Republicans.
The so-called gang of four. Each was briefed orally, and it was understood that they were not to speak about the program with anyone, including their colleagues on the committees. So
why didn't she say anything? Because if she had, I would call
Sean
her traitor.
Exactly, because Sean Hannity would be screaming at helping
gotcha.
Us.
I'm smart that way.
Okay, let's go to Elizabeth in Oklahoma on the detainee pictures. Hello, Elizabeth.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
I wanted to comment on the comfort level of the American people with ignorance and censorship versus truth and accountability. And this latest issue is just the latest example of that comfort level. There's no demand of the press to bring us the truth, and you have to work so hard to know it. And there are four obvious examples of censorship that anyone that gives it even the slightest bit of thought would recognize. One is the latest torture issue. Two is the shock and awe Iraqi deaths that were just factual issues that when we were waging shock and awe, we know we didn't see the death and destruction unless we went out to foreign press, which I did do over the internet,
mm-hmm.
Al Jazeera. So I'm probably on the watch list.
Yes, I'm quite certain you are. Between that and this phone call right now to
exactly.
my show, yes.
That is probably right. Thirdly, the pre-fall collapse of World Trade Building 7, which is an obvious demolition. If
oh, now you're talking Jim Ward's language.
If anyone would go to the architectural and engineering site, ae911truth.org, it's pure science.
All right,
that's
Elizabeth.
An engineer.
All right, honey. Thank
one
you.
One more issue.
Real quick, hon. We're out of time.
One fourth issue. Okay, the Bentham Physics Journal, they've recently discovered unreacted and reacted thermite.
All right. I swear to God, I'm not seeing that's going to be a conspiracy that I cut her off. But
we talked about that on this show before.
Yes, we are hitting a hard break. And Representative Jerry Connolly from the great state of Virginia is next to talk about all things economy and much more on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Is 60.
No, that's ridiculous.
Think about it. She can't rap.
She falls asleep in chairs. She doesn't know how to use a computer. She's always mad at the TV.
Stephanie Miller.
Might be 70.
Oh, my God. That's true. All of that is true.
I hate you. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. You know, a lot going on here in the States and the economy and overseas. Who better to update us on the economy as well as what's going on in the Middle East than a member of the House Budget Committee and the House Committee on Foreign Affairs? If only. What? Chris, who is it?
Representative Jerry Connolly from Northern Virginia.
He's the guy from both of the places.
That's right.
Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning, Stephanie. And since I called in,
We have been called to a vote, so I've got, unfortunately, like 5 minutes, and okay. then I got to go vote. Oh. I hope you understand.
Oh, my. I don't understand how anything what? Could be more important than me, but all right.
I know.
Whatever. What are you voting on today?
Well, we're going to be voting on the supplemental, and we're also voting on an education bill to help schools become green.
Oh, that sounds very socialistic, Congressman.
I'm hoping we can avoid the socialistic aspects of it all.
Sure, whatever you say, comrade.
Can you believe that seems to be their only idea, that the RNC is actually going to have a resolution to change the name of the Democratic Party to the Democrat Socialist Party?
You know, I just think it shows the complete intellectual bankruptcy on the other side right now, and it's almost sad.
Yep. Tell us, give us your take on the economy. Is obviously somebody right in the thick of things there?
I think there are some signs that the economy is beginning to improve. Consumer confidence actually went up in the last report, and consumer spending went up 2.2%. That's also combined with the fact that inventories are really down, which means that shelves have to be restocked, which means people have to produce to restock those shelves. So I think there's definite signs that, consumers are ready to spend again, albeit modestly, and the economy might start to experience a little bit of growth. The housing market may have experienced some stability as well. It's too early to uncork the champagne, but there are right. clear signs that some of the stuff is beginning to work.
Well, now, what about the credit card bill? We're getting close on that, aren't we?
Yes, I was a co-sponsor of that bill. I think the practices that have been allowed in recent years, frankly, are loan shark in their characteristics, and it's outrageous that we've allowed that to be perpetrated in consumers. And I ran, not walked, to want to co-sponsor this bill.
No, good for you. Is that the bell calling you?
You got it.
Okay.
I was hoping you weren't being electrocuted as we were speaking.
All right,
Congressman, go do the great work for America that you're doing. Thanks for taking time
thanks
for
so
us.
Thanks so much, and thanks for what you're doing.
All right, thank you, Representative
Yay.
Jerry Conley.
We'll have him on at some later date and talk to him more.
I was hoping that he hadn't stepped in water while touching something electrical. I didn't
taking a bath and dropped the toaster in or something.
Anyway, stepping
in.
Wasn't that the kid from Stand By Me?
No, that's
a different guy entirely.
Yes.
All right, whatever, doing the
whatever.
Business of the people of the United States. Like that's more important than...
Stephanie Miller.
Okay. Let's go to Jim in Missoula, Montana on the detainee pictures. Hello, Jim.
Hi, Stephanie. How you doing?
Good, go ahead.
Hey, I just wanted to see whether we couldn't compromise here and get these pictures released during Dick Cheney's trial.
Well, there you go.
You know what? They might. You know, should Dick Cheney go on trial, they would probably have to be admitted as evidence.
Yep. Mm-hmm. By the way, give me my fine American music. Interesting take in Time magazine. These are, according to some Republican sources, Cheney is trying to rewrite history, says a Republican consultant. He knows that as time goes by, he will look worse, and so he's trying to put his stroke on it. Cheney obliquely conceded as much on Sunday when he told Bob Schieffer, "I think it's very, very important that we have a clear understanding that what happened here was an honorable approach to defending the nation, and there was nothing devious or deceitful or dishonest or illegal about what was done." Hum-na.
Wow.
That sounds like, okay, we got a little out of hand, but we meant well, so how about we just let it go? What's quite clear about Cheney's sudden chatty spree is that he wants to refocus the question about waterboarding and other interrogation techniques about whether they were legal to whether they worked. A far darker explanation for the spring offensive isn't about the past but the future. By laying down the charge now that Obama has made the country less safe, the Bush team may be able to point fingers of blame mm-hmm. if a second attack ever comes.
Yep.
Cheney's reemergence has dismayed Republicans, said one. We're trying to turn the page and he's climbing out of the grave to haunt us.
My prediction is, if he ever is set to come to trial, he'll suddenly disappear. He'll go all Ken Lay and Bill Casey on our ass.
Yeah.
Suddenly, oh, no encounter.
He's really in an undisclosed location now.
It would be interesting to find out if his approval ratings are dropping even more now that he's on this big tour.
It's hard to imagine. He's so cuddly.
Yeah. It's just too difficult to understand that we've sent people to prison for torturing because they were just bad people.
Mm-hmm.
Now that it's clear that the orders came from the top.
I know.
What, can you not make the connection there?
Leslie in Asheville, North Carolina on healthcare. Hello, Leslie.
Hi, Steffi. Hi, Mook. How
Hello.
Are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Well, I wanted to talk a little bit about healthcare rationing. I'm a Democrat socialist, and I'm a little upset about what if health care is rationed like it isn't already. Last year, 30,000 people died because they didn't have access to health care. Mm. One of them was my son.
Oh, God, I'm sorry.
His medical record said again and again, patient needs a colonoscopy but can't afford it.
Oh, my God.
So by the time he finally got it, he was stage three. Mm. And they gave him the obligatory, you know, chemo and radiation, but he almost died twice more that year and would have been dead 2 years before if we hadn't gotten him to Duke. They offered to see him. And the minute they saw him, they said, you're adopted. We're going to treat you. And they gave us 2 more years with him. But I kind of like to think of myself as the Cindy Sheehan of healthcare. This is wrong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm just one of 30,000 people in grief. You know,
yep.
It's totally wrong.
Yep, I hear you. Well, thanks so much for sharing your story. And so sorry about your son.
Well, me too, but, you know, at least we can do something good.
That's
with
right.
It.
Yep.
Write to your legislators. Don't let them back down.
All right. Thank you, Leslie. I appreciate it. By the way, a lot of the live blog, a fire about the Congresswoman Jackie Speier.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I misunderstood what she said. A lot of people, she was talking about her mother recently passed away. She was 93, and I guess she needed some sort of operation. And so they asked her mother, and she said, yes, but, you know, she wants it. And I think she was expressing an opinion as her daughter that she felt that and we didn't actually ask the question. I don't know if she feels the operation killed her mother or led to her earlier demise or
that's a tough question to ask.
But I think it was her. I don't think she was saying no one should have a choice whether they want surgeries or not. I think she was saying in her mother's case, she felt that at 93, she shouldn't go through that procedure. So
Right.
Anyway, all right, let's go to Lucas in Oakland on healthcare. Hello, Lucas.
Hey, Stephanie. Love you guys. Love
you,
Mooks. Well, except for Chris.
Yes.
And still in Buffalo.
That goes without saying.
Oh.
Yeah. So I wanted to call. I was going to call about torture, but I had to call about healthcare because I think a lot of people in the country, I just got out of nursing school, and a lot of people in the country are really misinformed about, like, healthcare and their statistics and their chances. I mean, what the congresswoman was saying was totally right on. If a lot of people really understood the chances of success of certain treatments, they might prefer to spend the last 6 months of their lives with their families, not in pain. It's like, you know, everybody wants to live, but it's like if you really looked at the math and you said, okay, well, would you rather spend the last 6 months like not in pain and enjoying your family, or would you rather spend 6 months in pain on a treatment that's probably not going to work just because you want to eke out maybe possibly, you know, if we took the insurance companies out of healthcare and we didn't have that profit motive, and, you know, the people get paid for the treatment, people get paid for the test, then a lot of people would make different choices. And that's why we need, like, government and healthcare, because we need to be able to actually have an honest conversation about this, as opposed to, like, saying, oh, you can't do it, it's rationing. We're being rationed now. It's like, I can't go to the doctor unless a specialist, unless my doctor says I can. And I can't see my doctor unless I wait for, like, a month till I get an appointment. So how is that different from, like, but I have to pay for it now. So how is that different from, like, going to, you know, rationalized healthcare in Europe where it's free?
Yep.
I just don't get it.
Yep, I hear you. Very good points. All right. One more on healthcare. Ruth in Minneapolis. Hi, Ruth.
Hello. Hi. Yeah, I am in Boston healthcare every day. I had 2 points. One is I see lots of, like, 30-year-old adults who are professional. They have, like, 2 days of a cold. They come in, I'm too busy to be sick. or they say things like, I want to nip this in the bud. So we see a lot of healthcare utilization for young, healthy people who have a bit of a cold. So that was, like, an hour ago I wanted to say that. The other thing is the other two callers just said really great things about the healthcare rationing that's going on. There was a study that showed that American citizens wait longer in the emergency room than Canadian citizens wait. Already this is happening. And everyone acts like it's going to be like Logan's Run or something. you know, like all of a sudden we're going to do, everybody who's 40 and over is not going to get any more healthcare. But you got to wonder if a 95-year-old needs every last possible medical technology, you know, thing available versus maybe giving a 30-year-old a colonoscopy. These are things that you have to look at when you're looking at the population. It's a lot harder to make decisions based on population than it is each individual person. But we spend, like, what? I'm going to make up a number. A huge percentage of our health care in the last 6 to 12 months of life. And it's not sustainable with the baby boomers coming along.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen, the fact that you're making up numbers means you could be in the Republican caucus today if you wanted to. We just pulled this number out of our ass. All right.
Yeah, way too many young, relatively healthy people go to the doctor for every teeny tiny little sniffle when they make over-the-counter stuff for that.
Oh, yeah. And
except they keep the good stuff behind the counter now under lock and key.
And if you're sitting in a room full of sick people, you're probably going to get sicker.
What's the deal with that, by the way? The Sudafed, it's like a lobster or something.
You make meth
now.
With it.
Yes.
I understand.
Okay.
It's like a, you know, it's like the jewelry case. It's you know.
They also do that with razors too.
Yeah.
Why do you keep those under lock and key?
I think they're easily stolen.
Give me the good Sudafed. Give me the good stuff. 45.
DayQuil takes care of stuff just nicely, so whatever.
Did you say GayQuil? Oh, DayQuil. I'm sorry.
Why would I say GayQuil?
It only works in West Hollywood.
44 minutes after the hour. Right back with the
Castro.
President's reversing course on the detainee photos as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I like it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. It's a beautiful day. Sky falls, you feel like it's a beautiful day. So let it get
away. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 49 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll-free from anywhere. Can I have the air raid siren to wake Squeezy up? Squeezy, we're just minutes away from the giant rack alert, giant rack alert.
Giant rack alert.
Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, joins us live in studio.
A rack has been sighted in the building.
Until just a few minutes. All next hour, live in studio. All right, so these will be the last coherent thoughts we get from Jim Ward for the rest of the show.
Don't try and play motorboat with her, please.
And we will essentially get what you get from all men when a giant rack is in the area. Okay, let's go to let's go to Roz in Georgia on healthcare. Hey, Roz.
Oh, I'm so glad you got to me before we seceded from the union.
Yeah, that's right. Georgia's making noises.
That other state. But I hate to point it out to the guy that was having a fit about government insurance and national health care. A 93-year-old woman has Medicare.
Right.
You got to make her own decision. So what's so bad about that?
Right. I mean, I think the congresswoman, I understand what people were thinking, that that maybe she meant, no one should have a choice. She was just saying in her personal case with her mother, she thinks that, it wasn't worth it, 93, to do this procedure. So.
Oh, yeah. And the quick thing about Dick Cheney, has everyone forgotten that every time they briefed us on national security, they always ended with, but you know it's not a matter of if we get attacked again, but when?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I can't say they kept us safe.
Yeah. By the way, what's his name? Sheldon Whitehouse yesterday said Vice President Cheney agreed in an interview that waterboarding was like a dunk in the water when it was used as a torture technique by tyrannical regimes from the Spanish Inquisition to Cambodia's killing fields. Thank you, Sheldon Whitehouse. He was pissed.
Dick needs to be waterboarded so you can give us a full report.
Yeah.
Oh, did you guys see?
We could get all the info from him then.
Did you guys see Jesse Ventura on Larry King?
No.
Oh, hilarious. He said, give me a waterboard in an hour, and Dick Cheney in an hour, and I'll get him to confess to the Sharon Tate killings.
Oh, my God. Wow.
He was really like, this needs to be prosecuted. That, you know, he's a Navy SEAL.
Yeah.
He's a... And he was waterboarded in, what do you call it, SEAL training, and he said, this is torture, and they need to be prosecuted. They're war criminals. Yay! Yay, Jesse Ventura!
You find him cuddly now, don't you?
I certainly do.
You would like to date him.
I want to kiss him. Okay. the detainee photos we'll get to, but I've got to say, I think the breaking news, the big headline yesterday, Ali Soufan testifying to a Senate panel. He's the guy who was in the room, Jim, with Abu Zubaydah.
Ali Sheedy? Ali Sheedy was in the room with Ali Abu Zubaydah.
Here's a conspiracy sausage for you. He was behind a screen to hide his identity because of threats.
Hmm.
Wonder who those could come from. Dick. Because he basically was there to call Dick Cheney a,
you're a lying sack of crap.
Yeah.
Which
he said his interrogation team obtained a treasure trove. Didn't the other day when Dick Cheney said this, we said, That seems like the opposite of what the truth is. Well, as it turns out,
computer says yes.
We were correct.
Mm-hmm.
He said his interrogation team obtained a treasure trove of information from Abu Zubaydah using non-threatening approach that outwitted the detainee, even getting him to talk by using his childhood nickname.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Sufan said his team had to step aside when CIA contractors took over, used waterboarding, sleep deprivation, and other harsh methods. He said those techniques caused the prisoner to shut down.
Wait a minute. What do you mean by CIA contractors? They weren't even government employees. They were subcontractors of a private company like Blackwater?
Probably.
Oh, my God. That is absolutely inexcusable if that's the case.
By the way, I apologize for saying the stupidest thing Lindsey Graham said yesterday was the reason these techniques have survived is because they work.
He said something stupider?
Yes, I know, which is why I know it's hard to believe. He said, he asked whether, quote, we would be having this hearing if we were attacked this afternoon.
Ugh. God.
He called the hearing a political stunt.
I sure hope they attack this afternoon. Come on, attack, please.
Hypothetical much?
He, at times appeared irate, commenting at one point, the people we're prosecuting didn't rob a liquor store. Wow! Good. Have fun going down that slippery slope, my friends.
Woo! Some of the people...
There goes our morals.
Some of the people we prosecuted didn't do anything at all.
Yeah, and the other bombshell, I thought, Condi Rice's assistant, Zelikow, he argued in his 2005 memo that constitutional protections for amendments and other sort of craziness like that we've, you know, based our... Constitution on. He circulated his memo within the administration but had no authority on legal matters beyond the power of persuasion. My colleagues were entitled to ignore my views, he said. They did more than that. The White House attempted to collect and destroy all copies of my memo.
Wow. Zeke Kyle, y'all.
Yep.
Okay. Meanwhile, so to me, as I was saying, I think the release of the photos is, you know, a side issue. President Obama said he would block the court order release of photos showing U.S. troops abusing prisoners in order to not to further inflame anti-American opinion and endanger U.S. forces in Iraq and Afghanistan. As I mentioned earlier, these photos, you know, and he may know this, that they're going to be forced to release them anyway, you know, but then he has politically, he can say that he tried to block it.
Mm-hmm.
The Bush administration has already argued against the release on national security grounds and lost legally. So I don't know. The ACLU said the decision to not release the photographs makes a mockery of President Obama's promise of transparency and accountability. It is essential that these photographs be released so the public can examine for itself the full scale and scope of prisoner abuse that was conducted in its name. The president said, I want to emphasize these photos that were requested in this case are not particularly sensational, especially when compared to the painful images that we remember from Abu Ghraib. He said, any abuse of detainees is unacceptable. It's against our values. It endangers our security. It will not be tolerated. Ed Henry, the CNN reporter, and Robert Gibbs yesterday.
Was there a failure here at the White House in the first go-round in April to fully weigh the national security implications?
The argument that the president seeks to make is one that hasn't been made before. I'm not going to get into... blame for this or that, understanding that there was significant legal momentum in these cases prior to the president entering into office. We are now at a point where it is likely that some stay will be asked to prevent the release of these photos.
Mm-hmm. Pete in New Orleans says, I have never been in war, so I don't know what I'm talking about. Hello, Pete.
Hello, how you doing?
Good, go ahead.
Listen, Stephanie, have you ever been in the military?
No, I have not, sir. Have you?
Yes, I have. How about your two girlfriends there?
That's a joke about the guys hilarious. I work with, uh-huh.
Yeah, they've been in the military?
I'm sorry, but has Dick Cheney been in the military? Oh, no, that's right. He got 5 deferments because he had other priorities.
But the thing about it is that, you know...
I'm sorry, has Dick Cheney ever been in the military?
Well, I don't know. Have you?
We just told you.
No, Dick Cheney was not in the military.
Because he got 5 deferments because he's a coward.
Oh, I guess you're a coward then, right?
I was in college.
We didn't get deferments. We were too young to serve.
I was too young for Vietnam.
Yeah.
Last couple of wars? No, you couldn't go out there. You didn't have. What they call?
So we don't know what we're talking about. How about John McCain, who was tortured and said torture doesn't work?
Well, you know what it's just. The reason why they don't want torture is because of the Geneva Convention. Am I correct?
Because it's not what America does.
Oh, no. Oh, my God. Okay, girlfriend, be quiet. Listen.
Oh, you are an idiot.
You are an idiot.
I I see. I'm a girl because I wasn't in the military. Because
you're not for torture.
Okay, Cheney must be a girl, too. He looks great in that brunette wig.
He wasn't even fun to play with. He's just a jerk. 57 minutes after the hour, Tinsel Talk and Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. There's a new picture of Oliver, Mommy's new puppy, up on the website with his favorite
Oliver!
Hobby. Yes, his favorite new hobby, and that is Max's head.
Is
okay.
What?
It's a long story.
Doing
you'll see.
Max?
Uh-huh. All right.
His head? Does he know that
he's
that's
a
not...
puppy. He's a puppy. StephanieMiller.com. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, Boy City, Jim Ward, me, Stephanie Miller.
Obviously an unfixed puppy.
Yes, he's too little for that. Okay, lots of big news. The release of the detainee photo, Senator Lindsey Graham yesterday.
Changing one's mind is a strength, not a weakness, if you do it for all the right reasons. And I think he did it for all the right reasons.
He's working my last nerve these days, Senator Lindsey Graham. The big news yesterday is the testimony of Ali Soufan, the FBI agent who interrogated Abu Zubaydah.
These techniques, from an operational perspective, are slow, ineffective, unreliable.
Thank you. And Dick Cheney is a big fat liar, 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 liar. The president on health care yesterday.
We are not going to rest until we've delivered the kind of health care reform that's going to bring down costs for families and improve quality, affordability, accessibility for all Americans.
And Senator Mitch McChinless on how empathy in a Supreme Court nominee is French and gay.
I thought empathy implied that you were on somebody's side before you heard the case. We did have a discussion about the importance of following the law and not acting like a legislator on the bench.
Whatever. Okay. You know what? We need to liven up the party now. Who is it, Chris?
It's Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, Cassandra Peterson.
What? Oh, my God. Darling.
Hi. Oh, it's so early. I'm so perky.
I mentioned that you stayed at my house while you're in town.
I stayed at your house, and I love the decor in my room, I must say.
I put plastic bats on her ceiling fan.
Plastic bats, which I laughed and laughed when I saw them. Oh, God. They were funny until the middle of the night when I wanted to turn the fan on, and I couldn't because I was afraid they would fly down and slap me in the face.
Right.
So I was like, but before that, they were hilarious.
Thank you. I think you're just saying that.
I love that. I love the spider in the bed suit. Actual Black Widow. That probably wasn't a real good
idea. I didn't plan that.
No. Oh, that's there you go.
No extra charge.
Oh, thank you.
Now, I explained to Jim Ward earlier the squeezy moment that he missed, the you in my massage chair, in the part where it jiggles. That was, yeah.
Oh, yeah. She was saying, oh, Jim would love this. He would love it.
Ooh.
Well, Jim just copped the feel when he hugged me, so he got it. He's got it.
Jim hugs you entirely too longer than is appropriate.
He does. He just gave me a little massage,
too. It's like
a
30-second rule, isn't there?
We have to get to all things politics and pop culture with you. But first of all, Chris, you Wikipedia'd Cassandra earlier and found out one fun fact that you dated Elvis Presley.
That's right.
That's right. Everybody talks about that. It was a long time ago when I was a showgirl in Vegas when I was 17. So the date didn't go that far because, think about it, I was underage, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Elvis was not that stupid, okay?
I was going to say that didn't seem like the kind of thing that would stop Elvis, but okay.
No, but it was fun. I got to say, I had a great time with him. Wow. A lot of making out.
She tells the best stories ever. She was telling showgirl stories last night. She's
about Sammy Davis back in the days of the Rat Pack.
Did you hang out with the Rat Pack? Rat Pack at all?
I hung out with Sammy Davis,
yeah.
And then with Frank Sinatra. I went to his 50th birthday party with one of the Osmond brothers as my date. Alan Osmond. And I had little Donnie sitting on my lap at dinner.
Oh, wow.
I ran into him, and he always wants to sit on my lap again now.
And here's the sad thing. She looks a lot younger than me. That is...
Yeah, back in the day of the dinosaur when they first invented Las Vegas. Oh,
hey,
God.
Lend me the redhead chick.
Here's the other fun fact about Cassandra Peterson. You were up for which, for Ginger?
I was, and I actually got the role for the remake of Gilligan's Island. Hello, Gilligan. It's, you know, I was talking like that, and I had the same red hair and same mole.
Skipper, I've got to change my pants.
And I got the part, and then the Elvira audition came along at the same time. And brilliantly, I ended up taking that part, and thank God, because this episode was called Gilligan's Island versus the, what is that basketball team that does the funny stuff? The
Harlem Globetrotters.
Harlem Globetrotters. And I
did you date one of them, too?
Well, no.
Were you almost Mrs. Meadowlark Lemon?
I could have been. Let me tell you, I was almost Mrs. Will Chamberlain, but that's another story. Anyway.
What?
Oh, yikes. Anyway, so.
I'm sorry. Go back to that. You were one of the 20,000 or
42,000?
One of the 42,000. Actually, well, no. Oh, God. It was kind of a Kobe Bryant story. Anyway.
Oh, dear.
Oh, God.
Oh, my goodness.
That's a long story to get into. We won't do that right now.
Wow. I think we might have just broken some news here on the Stephanie Miller Newscast.
I better write my memoirs in charge for this kind of thing.
Oh, my goodness. Will Chamberlain's lawyers for you on line four. All right. Let's take it.
All I can say is don't ever slow dance with Will Chamberlain. That's one thing I learned.
Oh, wow.
Well, the level that you'd be at would probably be unfortunate. Let's just say that.
Let's say that.
Because he's very tall.
Very, very tall. Wow.
Okay. Wow. Let's take a second and recover from that and check some entertainment news, shall we?
The video.
There's no business.
Wow.
Show business.
It's time for Tinsel Talk. Let's find out what's going on in Hollywood with Stephanie Miller.
See, this is what having dinner with Elvira is like. She'll be in the middle of one story, and then you'll be like, what? Wait. It's like a really fascinating story, and then something even more titillating comes out in the course of the...
Titillating?
Yeah, what were you? What was the original story now? Something about the Harlem Globetrotters? What?
No, that's the. Oh God, yeah, the original story. Yes. Okay. It was Gilligan's Island versus the Harlem Globetrotters, and thank God I did not go to do that because, as you may have noticed, it didn't develop into a series. Right.
That's right.
Still, there would have been slow motion jump shots.
Yeah. There you
All right.
So luckily, I took Elvira, which.
All right.
Paid off in a bigger way for me. It's been 28 years though.
Okay. All right. Yeah, she makes bank on that Elvira thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's a close personal friend of mine, and I asked you, Chris, I'm like, why don't we have Elvira today on Halloween? And you said, because we can't afford her. You can't afford her anywhere even close to Halloween.
I thought today was Halloween. I thought you said today on Halloween.
No, that would panic her. All right. Okay, yeah, we had to have our Elvira Halloween special on Christmas. That's how far down the list we go.
Every day is Halloween for me, so don't worry about it.
All right. So former Miss USA Shanna Mokler, is that how you pronounce her name? She resigned as co-executive director of the Miss California USA pageant on Wednesday after Donald Trump allowed Miss California Carrie Prejean to keep her crown. Huh. At a news conference Monday, Mokler had angrily accused Prejean of violating the contract she signed with pageant organizers by speaking out on behalf of organizations opposed to gay marriage and by failing to disclose that she had posed nearly nude for racy photographs before entering the state pageant. Interesting. Trump,
You're fired.
Trump said there was just miscommunication between Miss California and the pageant organizers. She said the communication problem, I believe, is totally solved.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Guess not.
Computer says no.
We have the Donald on this.
I've allowed Miss Carrie Prejean to keep her Miss California crown because she shouldn't be penalized for expressing an honest opinion. She's a sweet girl that deserves another chance, blah, 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 blah. Also, mostly because her racket's spectacular. Those puppies are huge.
Huge.
And ever since Ivanka left home, I've been feeling the lack of big knockers in my life. I carefully inspected the pictures that had surfaced, and I find that when she had them taken, her boobs weren't big enough to make any difference to anybody. So what the hey, right? Barely a mouthful. But the important thing is that she has all the qualities we need in the Miss California. Brains, spirituality, outspokenness, and a huge desire to make sure I'm happy. Hugely happy. You've seen how she knows how to mouth off about just about anything. So her boobs hate the gays. It's a flaw I'm willing to live with. Who's thinking about gay marriage when you're making motorboat noises between those hooters? It's a shame Shannon Mokler decided to quit as my pageant head, but she was trying... getting me pageant head. But she was trying to get in between me and those knockers, and that's the most dangerous place in the world. The very least that can happen to you is that you're fired.
You're fired.
Huge.
Huge.
Huge. Huge.
All right, two celebrity trouble in paradise stories. Angelina Jolie reportedly furious at Jennifer Aniston rumors. She's said to be furious at rumors that Brad Pitt is back in contact with Jen. Mm. She went mad when she heard that Pitt had spoken to Aniston's best pal, Courtney Cox, at a recent Los Angeles gig. And she went mad and told Brad not to bother coming back. She told him he humiliated her for the last time. If he wanted to go back to his boring, shallow life with Jen, that was just...
Oh, you failed me for the last time.
Are they really broken up? Because I saw that on the cover of one of those rags yesterday.
I don't
Angelina
know.
Angelina and Brad.
I don't know.
Just checking
and
it out.
Trouble in Paradise Part 2, Tom Cruise is apparently furious with Katie Holmes because she's focusing on her career instead of having another baby. Oh. It was recently been claimed that Katie was close to cracking over Tom's desire for baby number 2. We have Tom on this hour.
No, 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 no. Katie can't take any more acting work while she's still young. She's being suppressive and glib. She needs to be making babies. I've invested too much into her purification rundowns so she could be the perfect life support system for our uterus. I know. I'll send her to uterus boot camp with Angelina Jolie. She'll whip her into shape. Turn on the Xenu signal. Mentally unstable action stars, activate!
Brad, it's Katie.
Katie, there's something going on.
Tell me about it. Tom's activated the bat signal or something. They're probably going to do something weird voodoo ceremony with e-meters and vials of blood.
Now's our chance to escape. We'll see you at the Starbucks.
The one by the Banana Republic?
No, the one between Restoration Hardware and Abercrombie and Fitch.
Got it. Help me. Please help me.
No, you help me. Somebody help us.
Somebody help us. Help, help, help.
Pretty please free Brad and Katie. That's all for Tinsel Talk. I'm here all week. Tell your friends if you'd like more Jim Ward, Fall the Roll.
Check out Jim Ward's Apocryphal But True, for which there is a tile ad on the Stephanie Miller website.
StephanieMiller.com.
Yeah, there you go. That's it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
They'd be a lovely couple, wouldn't they, Brad Pitt and Katie Holmes? They should run off together. Just saying.
I heard he's available. No.
Look at Elvira spreading rumors left and right here. All right. What was your take on the whole Miss California thing?
Oh, I kind of missed that one because I've been moving and packing, unpacking boxes. So my whole celebrity news thing had a big dead space in it last week. Yeah.
Well, but, she's not a fan of the gays, apparently.
Oh, that thing. Yeah. I heard that. Oh, my take on it is I'm going to slap that bitch. That's my take.
Well, you know, what's her name that just quit? She made a good point. She said Monday pageant officials were not unhappy with the photos, but the fact that she didn't disclose their existence as the contract requires. So legally, it seems to me she probably should have lost her crown.
Yeah.
I think your bit was remarkably accurate, Jim. I think it was just her ginormous rack
yes.
that saved her. She also began speaking without their permission in front of crowds opposed to gay marriage, including her San Diego church and the National Organization for mm-hmm. Marriage. In the meantime, she became missing Miss California events that she was contractually obligated to attend. So I think on legal grounds, she probably should have been fired.
And also, there's some hypocrisy
here. And not because of her views on gay marriage, which are stupid.
Yes. Well, there's also some hypocrisy here because didn't Miss Nevada USA about 5 years ago lose her crown because there were some topless photos found
of
her?
Right, but it's not even the photos. It's that she lied about them being, by the way, are there topless photos of you anywhere, Elvira? Jim Ward wants to know. It's in your contract here for the Stephanie.
No, I don't think so. But I'm Elvira, for crying out loud. I'm not Miss anything.
Let me give you my email address.
You can't lose your crown.
I can't lose my crown. I've already lost it. That's right, I lost it.
Or your giant wig, in your case.
Exactly.
You can't be de-wigged as Elvira.
No, I'm Elvira. I never said I didn't do... Wait, I was a showgirl, for crying out loud. What do you expect?
What kind of show was it?
Yes, well...
All right, when we come back, by the way, the boob shot, the photographer that took the side nip shots... He said that Miss California is a liar. She said it was, she didn't mean to show her boobs, the wind.
Yeah,
seriously?
The wind did.
Did you miss that? The wind blew her.
The wind
blew her
boob?
Shirt up, yeah.
Wow. Oh, I've had that happen so many times, I can't tell you. But, Jim, I want to ask you, is it true that in German nipples are breast warts?
Yes, that is the actual...
Lately,
they've been adopting the English word, nippeln.
I love breast warts. Yeah. Oh, my breast warts. It's cold and
my
they're showing.
My breast warts. They're sticking out because of the cold.
Wow. We will be back with more about Miss California's breast warts and German sex talk between Elvira and Jim. 20 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
She's the aggressive progressive. Down girl. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. I get it. 25 minutes after the hour. We are joined by Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, live in studio. 1-800. These two need to get a room, seriously. I mean, really. Wow. All right, so...
We're in a room.
We're in a room. I guess you and I need to get out, Chris.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right. So we were talking about Miss California. So she had the boob shots.
Uh-huh.
And what did she say, Chris? Her explanation was that the wind blew her shirt up. And that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's what mine was, too.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Very windy.
That's why Jim brought a giant fan in this morning. The photographer who took the booby shots of Miss California is laughing at her claim that the wind was the reason her breasts were exposed. He said he never prompted her to show her breasts. She did it spontaneously during the shoot.
Oops.
Oh, boy. He wants to see my beards. He says he shot the photos on a normal day. It's ridiculous to blame it on a breeze. As for her claim that the pictures were taken between shots for the modeling session, he said that's BS. She was totally posing and looking into the camera. As you can see the shot, she's looking right into the camera.
Wasn't that the same excuse Britney Spears used for her...
The beeve shot?
Yeah. The beeve shot? Yeah, the wind.
Yeah.
It was wind.
Sure. Oh. You've gotten out of a bunch of limos.
Yeah, I know.
That happens.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, and the photographers are always kneeled down right there for you to get out of the limo to take...
Yeah, you're like keys, cell phone, purse. No, my underwear.
Oh, darn.
He also says after shooting the pictures, he scrolled through the shots in his camera, including the boob shots, and Carrie said she liked them.
Wow.
But now she's shocked. She's horrified. By the way, moments after learning that Carrie was going to keep her crown, her father said, "She's my hero. I'm so proud of her."
Oh.
And her fake boobs that the pageant bought for her. We couldn't be happier.
The pageant paid for it? Wow.
Pageant paid for her boobs. How about that?
Wow. So if you join the contest, does everybody get fake boobs?
I don't know.
Wow.
How come the guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the
Donald
life insurance
Trump got fake boobs
money didn't
it.
Get me fake boobs?
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, she's a real boob.
All right. Not sure how Miss California would feel. Well, we know how she feels about the gays, but Wanda Sykes has just become the mother of twins. She's she and her lovely wife. Her wife gave birth to the babies, daughter Olivia and son Lucas. She and her wife were married on October 25th, 2008. So take that, Miss California. Hurrah. By the way, apparently Meghan McCain, also not a fan of Wanda Sykes. She didn't like her jokes. She told outrageous jokes about, her mom, John McCain, his wife buying him a helicopter or something.
Whatever.
She also, by the way, have you ever done this, Elvira? She apparently acted like a brat at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. She didn't have enough tickets for the people she brought. And she said to her friends, does he even know who the f*** I am?
Wow. No, but I had a show recently, and RuPaul did that. RuPaul, who I love.
Said, "Don't you know who I am?"
He was supposed to bring two people. Yeah, but nobody knew who he was because he was not in drag. So then he had instead of two people, like 20.
He said, "My favorite thing a celebrity has ever said to me. I will tell you when we return as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show."
Listen,
Stephanie Miller.
If I want your opinion, I'll beat it out of you.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Oh, welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, live in studio with us. Oh, we were telling, because Meghan McCain just said to somebody at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, "Don't you know who the I am?" And wow. I was asking if you've ever done that, and you did have a brief confession.
Yeah, well, the only time, well, it taught me my lesson. I was at Disneyland with my daughter, and there was like a 2-hour wait for Space Mountain. So I decided, okay, I'm going to use my celebrity. And this was years ago. And I go up to the beginning of the line to the guy standing there. I go, I'm Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, and I wondered, is it possible we could just move ahead in the line a little? He goes, get at the back of the line like everybody else, lady.
I tried that, too.
So embarrassing. It did not work.
Jim tries to get in places by saying he's Elvira, too, and it never works for him either.
I just don't buy it.
I know. Same with me.
You learned your lesson.
So embarrassing. So I never do that.
Although I had a reverse story. You remember, a lot of people remember that I only got into See a Doctor because of you.
That's true, and that turned out to be a big nightmare. But
I know, I had mercury poisoning and all. Anyway, but I couldn't get in to see anybody in town, and then I said, Elvira sent me, and they were like, oh, well, go right ahead.
Okay, I've pulled with some people.
Here in Hollywood, when Elvira tells you.
Oh, yeah, when Elvira,
you do it.
Because I've been around so long, I've eventually met everyone in the world, and so...
Anyway, you were mentioning RuPaul before the break, and that was my favorite thing a celebrity ever said to me on my disastrous late-night show. I asked him what his breasts were made of, and he said, Egg McMuffins, who's hungry?
Whoa, he stole my line. Just kidding.
Now, unfortunately for you, Wikipedia, because we've been talking about Miss California, it does happen to mention, so it's easily findable, that there are boob shots of you somewhere.
Yes.
Those are the fun facts.
Ooh. Well, I told you I was a showgirl. What do you think I was showing? My Egg McMuffins?
But I didn't notice you posed for Playboy, because you were a Playboy bunny.
I was a Playboy model,
bunny. Oh, pardon me.
Playboy, back in the 70s, had a Playboy model agency. And so they hired lots of people, and I was one of the models. So you would get sent out on, not the runway model stuff. You would get sent out on every, wearing bikinis and posing with car parts, wearing a, silver lame bikini and wearing hot pants at conventions.
Wow.
And so and then shooting, pictures for We and Playboy.
Wow.
Not as the centerfold, but as the, when they have the little pictorials or whatever.
Sure.
Yeah. No, you're
Jim has only read the articles. He doesn't know what you mean.
No, okay.
Yeah. Skip right over
there.
There's
some
pictures.
Interesting articles in there.
You posed for Playgirl?
I did, because my boyfriend, you'll like his name, Bill Cable, was on the cover. He was really hot. It turned out to be the number one selling Playgirl of all time.
Wow.
And so I posed with him just as his girlfriend, because I was his girlfriend.
Right.
So,
wow.
So I may be one of the few people that can brag about that.
That is a remarkable fun fact. All right. Oh, by the way, I forgot, because I was drunk last night, but Elvira was over for dinner. I know. On my box of wine.
I know. A whole box of wine after you drink a whole box of wine. And then we went to sleep. I went to sleep the same time as Stephanie did, like 8:30.
Insane o'clock. Yeah.
And woke up at
stupid o'clock.
Exactly.
I know.
And I was going to be here nice and early, and then I got lost and rushed to air.
For hours,
at the last second.
Anyway, okay. So the showgirl, you have to get her drunk and ask her to tell you showgirl stories sometimes, Jim. This was my personal favorite one. Okay, we talked about earlier that you knew the Rat Pack and you knew Sammy Davis. So
separately, I knew the Rat Pack. I wasn't actually around when they. I mean, I was born probably, but Sammy Davis Jr. came to see my show one night.
Viva
La Girls at the Dunes, and I had just gone down to Tijuana and for some strange reason had bought a fake eyeball.
Uh-huh.
An eye that you put in.
Sure, you go to Tijuana for.
Yeah, of course.
To buy fake eyes.
I was going to make a ring out of it. I thought, oh, this would be so cool. So I was going to make a ring. So anyway, Sammy Davis was there, and I thought, wouldn't it be funny if I took the eyeball and glued it to one of my nipples? My breast quartz, I mean. My breast quartz.
Uh-huh. And so you did.
So I did.
Uh-huh.
And then it went prancing around out there, and Sammy laughed out loud.
Sammy laughed out loud.
He stood up and, did that bending over thing where he does. He loved it. Oh, so much that he asked all the girls to come back and have a sauna with him afterwards at his house, which.
You have the best stories ever. I mean, seriously, we can't have any more guests on the show after you. See, and you took a risk, because he might have been offended, but apparently, Sammy, not politically correct.
No, not at all.
He loved the hilarious glass eye on the nipple.
He loved it. And, it was a risk. But the other girls egged me on. They were all older than me, and they were like, do it. They wanted to get me fired, I know.
Wow. All right. Mark in Buffalo, you're on with Elvira. Hello, Mark.
Stephanie Mooks.
Yes.
How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
March 84, Hustler.
Uh-oh.
I see Elvira's in there. She's beautiful pictures, and I think she's a natural redhead.
Right.
Yes, she is beautiful.
Yes, and
she...
I never posed for Hustler. I posed for Playboy and We, and then they sold the pictures.
Mark, are you the creepy guy that has all the old money. All the old Hustlers in your basement?
Oh, well, I got the 84, March 84.
Well, tell him to send me a check.
Yeah. All right, Mark. Okay. Hey, that was a call from a creepy guy in his basement that has Hustlers from 1980s.
Oh, great. Yeah, that's...
Damn, I need to get a place in the basement.
He owed me off, I'll tell you. I posed for Playboy, nice photos, We magazine, very classy, very artistic, especially for We. Mm-hmm. And then they got sold to every slum scum magazine that ever existed, and I didn't get a penny.
Of course not.
I just love that he's listening to the radio, and he's like, I got to go down to the basement and find me that 1984 Hustler.
Oh, God, help me.
What's not great about that? Okay. Now, speaking of Dick, what do you think of Dick Cheney speaking... The whole torture debate on how much he's speaking
out. What a segue. My fondest prayer is that he goes straight to jail, straight to hell.
Do not pass go. Yeah.
Every time I hear
somebody
talking.
Oh, can we send him to hell?
Talking. Yes, I can. I just put the Malocchio on him.
The mistress of the dark can send him to hell.
That's right. Unbelievable, that guy. Wow. I can't wait.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to catch him. But you're right when you said that he's going to, if they catch him, he'll do a Ken Lay.
Yeah.
You know, he's got that underground bunker that he lives in under his house. Yeah. Like, you know.
And Bill Casey.
Like
as soon as the heat gets high, they disappear.
He's a quartet. Yeah. No, you can't see the body.
Died.
Yeah, just trust us on that. He had a bad heart. You remember, he had a bad heart. Yeah.
That's right. Why doesn't that thing ever give out? That's what I want to know. Everybody else's does. I mean, you know.
Boy, oh, boy. You know what? This show is for sure going to make Newsbusters. Okay. Michael Jackson could take home more than $50 million from his 50-show stand in London. Yeah, that's what you make a show, right? $1 million a show for all Barbara?
This is very bizarre, but I'm going to London, and supposedly, well, we'll see about that. Michael Jackson's going to be, I'm going to be hosting a party for the Sultan of Brunei, and Michael Jackson is supposed to be the performer.
You have the best stories ever. You are coming on. As soon as you get back from that, you're coming on to tell us what happened at this.
I will definitely tell you. I can't wait for that one.
Chris, who do you know that says I'm going to a party for the Sultan of Brunei?
Is it Brunei?
Brunei.
Oh,
yeah,
see,
pardon me.
Right. Okay, we have to correct Stephanie. Now I come in and correct her now.
Pardon me. I just wonder, as I do with most things in your life, how did this come about?
Which one?
The Sultan of Brunei
I don't know. They
party.
Just contacted me, and it's very bizarre. I don't know. They have all these different celebrities, and apparently it's a birthday party. I hope it's not a surprise party.
Oops.
And I'm on the lineup. I better not tell the lineup. I'll tell you after. But it's very, very odd lineup.
See, now that is, but that's very actually touching in a weird way, isn't it? That he has all the money in the world, and he wants Elvira.
And he wants Elvira. I'm like, I'm sort of like still in shock. I'm kind of like, what's up with that? And the other people are really famous people.
Wow.
Like,
what do you
Michael
get? Now we know. What do you get the man that has everything? You get him Elvira.
Exactly.
If only I could get Elvira, then I would be happy.
I'm excited.
Wow.
What if I get this?
Wow.
Oh, what?
Is Jim Ward Googling naked pictures of Elvira?
Yeah, from 100 years ago. And I said the worst part about these pictures is I weighed about 30 pounds more than I do now. I hate that.
There's nothing wrong with these pictures.
Oh, damn you, Jim.
Can I just go out on a limb to say, I'm guessing every man listening right now, including the gay ones, are doing the exact same thing. Okay, 42 minutes after the hour.
Nice hat.
All right. Jim's thoughts on Elvira's nakedness as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
She's your information slut. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Spooky.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show tribute to Elvira, Mistress of the Dark Hour, as we continue with Cassandra Peterson live in the studio. That was a charming story that someone asked you about your parents when you first became Elvira.
Yeah, that reporter said, aren't your parents embarrassed that you're wearing a dress that low cut? And I said, hell no, they're just happy I finally covered up.
It's the most clothes we've ever seen her wearing.
Yeah, God, finally the woman put some clothes on. We're happy.
All right. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Dick in West Virginia, you're on with Elvira. Hello, Dick.
Hi there. Dick. It's kind of funny you've got her on today because I was just telling somebody about this last week, and I hope I remember it correctly because it's been a long time, but the movie Eating Raoul.
Yeah?
Yeah, you were in that, right?
No, that's bizarre. I wasn't.
Okay.
You know who was in it? John Paragon, my writing partner.
Oh, okay.
21 years. Yeah. He was in it. He's great.
I could have sworn that was you. There was a scene with a woman dressed as a dominatrix, and the guy gets on his knees in front of her and says, whip me, hurt me, make me write bad checks, which is one of the great movie lines of all time. But that was not you.
That sounds familiar. Maybe
a lot of men have said that to her privately.
Yeah, exactly. It sounds very familiar.
All right. You know what I think? One of the fun facts we uncovered about you is that you were...
Uncovered about me. Great.
What? It's not about that. It's about you playing Ginger on the Gilligan's Island remake, that you were cast and then Elvira came up so you didn't do it.
That's right.
But
thank God.
I have a feeling that you could be in the new Dick Cheney sitcom that we have pitched entitled That's My Dick. What else does Dick Cheney have to say?
Oh, boy.
But I have to hope that he's doing this because he is in a white-knuckled panic over being prosecuted for war crimes.
What happened was the...
Dick.
That's my dick.
That's my dick.
Dick. How many dicks is that? A lot.
Yeah, did you torture the FAA, Dick, to get those 52 warnings that 9/11 is going to happen?
The project for the new American century called for the very same attack that actually occurred on your watch a year later.
Why didn't you guys do everything you could to stop it? Why didn't you find out what the enemy was planning to do? Why didn't you interfere with the attack?
I'd like the answer to that one.
There you go. Oh, I would pay cash money for the Jim Ward Dick Cheney interview.
Yes.
He'd bring the coffee cup, he'd do Dick Vader.
This is an outrage. You have failed me for the last time.
I think what we did was one of the great success stories.
This shall not stand.
I would absolutely do it again.
That's my dick.
Dick Cheney is officially making me screechy. If I have to see him on TV one more time, not getting challenged on any of his lies.
Do we need to give you a Xanax or something?
I think so. All right. I sense a role for you.
I need to. Is that the name? That's my dick?
That's what we're hoping for.
Or leave it to Dick.
Yes. Something. All right, let's go to Joe in Reading, Pennsylvania. You're on with Elvira. Hey, Joe.
Hi, Steph. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
I've got a couple quick things, but I was just thinking about a Bush-Cheney joke. I don't know if I have time for it.
Sure.
Okay. Bush and Cheney finally get arrested for war crimes. Cheney feigns a serious heart attack, and he goes out to Wyoming, and he disappears somewhere, and they send Bush down to Guantanamo.
Mm-hmm.
And when Bush...
I don't even care if there's a punchline to this. I just like it.
You know this?
All right, go ahead.
Okay. And Bush goes down to Guantanamo, and they put him in the cell, and they introduce him to his cellmate, and this guy is like twice as big as Shaquille O'Neal.
Mm.
And the... His roommate, cellmate, says to Bush, he says, what do you want to be? You want to be the husband or you want to be the wife? And Bush is thinking real quick, man, if I say you want to be the wife, he's going to want to do me up the behind. So Bush, real quick thinking, says, I'll be the husband. And then his cellmate says, will you get over here and you suck your wife?
Okay, all right. Oops, I perhaps stayed on that call a little too long. Let's go talk about something clean again, and that would be Elvira's naked pictures. Let's
Cassandra Peterson.
Yeah. She never posed as Elvira.
No. I got offered a lot of money to pose as Elvira for Playboy. Heth still calls me the one who got away.
Wow. And she said no.
Yeah. I said no.
It reportedly was the most money ever offered to somebody.
As equal to Farrah Fawcett. That's,
yeah.
So I took a poll of my fans.
She said poll.
A poll. I know.
Okay, Jen.
I took a poll of my fans at a convention, asked them if I should pose in Playboy as Elvira. And they said, no, believe it or not. And these are a lot of really horny guys who don't have girlfriends. And they said no because they think that the mystery, it would kind of get rid of the mystery of it.
And you're like, good, then you give me the money.
Exactly. You give me the damn money.
Patrick in San Francisco, you're on with Elvira.
Hi there. So I'm Trey Gay. Never had it, never will, total none. And girl, you look good.
Thank you. Oh, yeah.
See,
Pat? Another one straight.
See what I was saying?
That used to be my hobby.
Even the gay guys looking at the pictures right now, right?
Absolutely.
There you go.
All right. They are. They're beautiful. They're very artistic. Jim Ward has not taken his eyes off that screen. Stop it. You're going to go blind.
That was back before you guys were born that I was doing that. Oh, my God. Was it? No. Okay, maybe not.
I love when we asked her during the break, did she do naked pictures? She's like, it was the 70s.
Yeah, exactly. At least I got through the 60s without doing any. That was, okay.
Let's go to June in Seattle. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Elvira. Hi, June.
Hi, just a few short words about renaming. I think we should rename that other party the Republic Fascist Party.
See,
and
you
that's
know,
all I have to say.
All right, June, thank you. See, they're actually forming it. They're working on a resolution, seriously, to rename the Democratic Party the Democrat Socialist Party.
I know, I heard
that's
that.
All
I love that.
They are working on.
It's kind of good, like Keith Olbermann said. I mean, maybe that's people don't care about that. You know, I mean, when they took a poll, people said, oh, socialist, gee, that's so horrible.
Yeah. That sounds good.
Oh. Yeah.
Do you mean we actually get health care?
Hey, health care.
I know. Socialist.
Yeah,
it sounds good.
Okay.
Yeah,
wow.
Here's why we aren't going to rename the Republican Party, because we're working on real stuff. For real people, for God's sakes. Renfro in Dallas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Elvira.
I used to have a cat named Renfro.
Hi, Renfro.
How you doing, Hot Mama Radio, and the Hot Mama right next to you in the bodyguard?
Go ahead.
Now, my take on President Obama, I'm kind of torn between that because I was former military at one time.
You mean in releasing the detainee photos?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm kind of torn between that because he's between a rock and a hard place, regardless. It's like a damn if you do, damn if you don't.
Yeah, I mean, none of us wants to, you know, do anything to hurt the troops, but, I think they may be forced legally to release them anyway.
Yeah, later they'll be released in Hustler anyway.
See, this exactly the same thing that happened to Elvira. You
exactly.
See what happens?
See.
Doesn't matter what you do to cover it up, it ends up in Hustler. All right, I've been in Hustler, you know.
Yeah.
Actually, only
with
for the article.
On, though,
yeah.
Right? Yeah, for the reading. Yeah, there's some fine reading in there.
I've been in Hustler.
Yeah, Jim's written an article for Hustler.
You were reading Hustler, you mean. No,
I don't read it.
Oh,
Stephanie and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Elvira. Hello, Steph.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
You sound like you're having a fun time.
It's a little too much fun over there with the Jim and the Cassandra.
Well,
we're trying to get some work done here.
I don't want to be a downer, but, you know, America's health insurance, not health care, just pisses me the hell off.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I'm disabled, and it's just crap. It's complete crap. Anyway, real quick, I went to Italy a couple of years ago, and I have fibromyalgia, and I had a huge attack. I ended up in their emergency room, and 2.5 hours. And when I leave, I thought, oh, you know, what the hell is my bill going to be? I've been in enough, Wisconsin emergency rooms. Yeah. You know what they said?
What?
We don't charge for suffering.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
I'm just bald. And they're like, no,
yeah.
Just relax.
Oh, wow. Thank you, Steph. Wow. We should rename ourselves the Democrat Socialist Party.
I know. I lived in Italy, and all you had to do was go down, get in line, wait, you know, maybe an hour, and then be seen for whatever ever ailed you. You were given medicine and left, and it was fantastic.
Right. I mean, what she just said is so to the point. You know, whoever thought of making this a for-profit business?
Yeah.
I mean, it is profiting on people's suffering.
Insurance companies are not medical companies. They don't care about health care. They're insurance companies. They make money.
Well,
that's all they do.
They're going to insure you. You're going to get sick.
Oh, my God. You know what I actually heard the drug-addled gas bag say the other day? He said, it's really very simple, the solution to the health care. It ought to just be totally privatized. Just you. The health care costs will come down when you pay for whatever you can afford. What?
Yeah, great. Great.
If you're making $400 million every 3 years.
Yeah, I guess he's not concerned about. Yeah. I guess he can afford the anal cyst removal.
God. Even people with insurance. I mean, the copays and stuff. You know, I have great insurance. It doesn't even matter. I'm shocked sometimes when I go in and what I have to pay.
Right.
I just had to pay recently for an emergency thing. The bill I got was unbelievable, in the thousands of dollars. I'm going, I have have insurance.
Yeah. Yeah. They go, yeah. I mean, isn't that the stupidest suggestion you ever heard? They'll just voluntarily lower the cost. He doesn't think any employer should have to pay for insurance, nothing like that.
No,
we just all get whatever doctors we can afford, and then it'll all magically come down.
As long as all the useless eaters die, then...
If you have the decency to die,
right. Then
everything will be fine. Elvira.com is where you can find all things Elvira. Well, not all things. You need to Google the other things. You know what we're saying.
MySpace page. That's a good one, too. Elvira's.
Thank you, honey. Thanks for coming in.
Yay! I'm going to stay overnight. I'll sleep over again.
Oh. So does Jim. Listen. See you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.